Hallelujah. I'm like that. I just picture it's not just right. I used to walk around. They have an app on the iPhone that's a level. If you guys downloaded a level app on your iPhone, it works really good. You can adjust pictures and stuff like that. I used to drive the staff crazy. That's crooked. That's crooked. And I'd be watching on the platform and something be kind of off-center or something. But I'm getting better. Hallelujah. I'm getting better. I was really a neat freak. I really was. And some of you old-timers that's been with us a while, I used to like the platform just perfect. And we used to have flowers and just everything, you know. That's when we wore ties and suits. And I had the worship team dressed in black. Guys, remember that? You know, that was what I thought church world was. And it was back then. It was kind of everything organized and kind of, I don't know. We liked the Holy Ghost and stuff, but it was just churchy, you know. But a dear friend of ours, she's gone home to Shelvia, gone home to be with the Lord. And a few days ago, and she was our guest speaker. So she gets up on a Sunday morning, and she looks at me, and she knows how I was, so she wanted to break that tradition. So she, what did she do, kick the flowers over or something like that? Kick the flowers over? Get over it, Ed. Whatever, Pastor Ed, get over it. And I had to walk in love. Amen. That's what I, praise the Lord. Nobody argued with her, though. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I preached the first service. I don't know how this is going to come out, but we'll do our best. If you were here in the first service, we're teaching on the power of love in action. The power of love in action. And I just wanted to share this little note that I got from, how many of you remember, know who Amy Simple McPherson is, or was? Very powerful evangelist, pastor. I don't know what her title was exactly, but she was one of the great forerunners of Pentecost back in the early 1900s. But how many of you want to see the power of God manifested in our midst? This is a story about one of her meetings. Amy Simple McPherson was once holding a tent meeting, and while she was ministering, the Lord dropped in her spirit the words, "I want to do a creative miracle." Without hesitation, she declared, "God wants to do a creative miracle. If you are in need, come down here to the front." She gave the call for about 10 minutes. However, nobody responded, so she went right on preaching. The Lord prompted her again, so she gave the call again for about another 10 minutes. Finally, a woman in a chair with a blanket over her lap came up to the front. She stated, "I know you said God wanted to do a creative miracle, but I didn't know if you meant this creative." Just then, she pulled back the blanket to reveal she had a baby that had no arms, no legs, and a deformed face. Sister Amy then prayed a simple prayer for the child. Then she said, "Let's all lift up our hands and worship God." For 30 minutes, they did nothing but worship God, and then something amazing happened. All four of the baby's limbs grew out of its little torso, and the face was completely restored back to normal. Hallelujah! God is, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, I was reading early this morning, about 4 a.m. this morning, I couldn't get to sleep. I had studied and stuff, and I was just laying there, and I was reading the first couple chapters of Hebrews, and just something came to me about that a phrase there caught my attention, and it said that the children of Israel, God said, "You doubted me," and just those words, "You doubted me." You know, if you want to know of a sin that really, if there is a sin, I know that it God Now, in the Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, it says God got very irritated. That's Pastor Ed's translation. All right, got very irritable with the children of Israel because they died. You know, God wants us to believe him. In fact, in chapter 4, it says they could not enter into the rest of faith because they had an evil heart of unbelief. So we need to get to that place where if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. How many of you know that that's true? Glory to God. If God said it, amen, I believe it, and it settles it once and for all. Praise the Lord for that. Amen? So don't doubt God's ability to meet your need, to heal your body, to do whatever he said he would do. God is not a man that he should lie. Hallelujah. So let's believe God for supernatural things. And the reason why I'm teaching on love is because God wants us to create an environment to house the Holy Spirit. Amen? And I know that the Holy Spirit is in every one of us, but there is also an environment where the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah of glory, and the Shekinah just means the glory that you could see. Amen? The glory that you could feel, the glory. How many of you have been in those kind of services? Amen? And I'm believing God for those kind of services, but we as a congregation, we as the body of Christ, we've got to learn to walk in love because love creates an atmosphere. Amen? For compassion for those that are in need. It pushes selfishness out of the door. Amen. Out of the building. It's not about us, but it's caring and sharing about it with everybody that walks through the doors of our church. And I'm going to read some scriptures today. And basically, these scriptures were written by the Apostle Paul to a new, really baby church, because the book of Acts was, that's when the church was birthed. But yet the church was in infancy, amen, just babyhood. And so Paul had to deal with a lot of carnality in the church. And it's a shame that there's a lot of that in the church nowadays. There's always been bickering. There's always been strife. I grew up in church, and I know all about that kind of stuff, amen. I don't like it. I don't like, God doesn't like it, amen. In fact, there's six things that God hates, and one of them is those that sow discord among the brethren. And the Bible says that is an abomination to the Lord for people to sow discord, sow distrust, sow just seeds of just yuck, it's junk. It pushes. See, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And we have to create, one prophet said, if we as a church, speaking, he was actually here, not in this building, but back in Brockton, he said, if we would create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit, that the things of God that he had started, the moving of the Spirit, and the things that we had witnessed through the years would not leave, but it would increase and not quit because of the environment. And we are responsible for the environment. I, as pastor, is responsible for the environment. You as a congregation, amen, are responsible for an environment for the Holy Spirit to come. Say, he is holy. Amen. Hallelujah. So there is a quote that I want to read you this morning. It's a simple one, something that you need to remember. It says, the love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. Love isn't love till we give it away. Okay, I'm going to read that again. The love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. Love isn't love till we what? We give it away. Amen. So love is not a feeling. Amen. Love is a decision that we're going to love. And there's no better scripture that Paul uses than in 1 Corinthians 13. Praise God. Now, chapter 12 talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the body of believers. We're going to read a little bit of that in a moment. But chapter 13 deals with love. It says, if you have faith that you could move mountains, if you could speak in tongues of men and of angels and have not love, it profiteth nothing. So the most important thing, the everlasting thing that will last for eternity, the Bible says is faith, hope, and love, these three things. Amen? So love will always be. Amen. Love is not going anywhere. But we who are children of God are, the Bible says, to be imitators of God as dear children. If our Heavenly Father is a God of love, then we are to be a people of love, right? So we're going to read this in the Amplified Classic Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. Now, this is a guidepost. This is a thermometer. This is how we know we are walking in love. Again, we can say that we love somebody, but if we don't do any action, then that's really not love. Right? It's just verbal. It means absolutely nothing. There are people in the church world, and again, I grew up in church, will tell you they love you and then talk to, behind your back. Will stab you in the back. Oh, we love you. We love you, so-and-so. We love. If you're a pastor, you got to get used to being stabbed in the back. Glory to God. There are a lot of mean people in church. Say, that's not me. Hallelujah. I've experienced everything. People, you know, some people want, man, I just want to be in the ministry. I just want to be a pastor. You better watch out what you're wanting. You got to be able to take it. Hallelujah. Walk in love through everything. Amen. Hallelujah. If you didn't smile at somebody, somebody gets offended. If you didn't shake their hand, somebody gets offended. Now, that pastor over there is just so-and-so and whatever. Amen. And none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. And that's why we have to look beyond everything and purpose to walk in love. Let's read this chapter, all right, these portions of Scripture here in 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 4, I think, right? Okay. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It is not rude or unmannerly and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us. Say, God's love in us. See, I can't love that, but God's love in me. It's God's love in me. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to love by faith. Come on now. You got to love by faith. Glory to God. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy. Not touchy. You don't get offended easy, okay? Not touchy. Not self-seeking. Not resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. Boy, we just want to pay back, don't we? I'm going to get you back. Retaliation. No, that's not what a Christian does. Amen? Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, if somebody hits you, turn the other cheek. And I always said, yeah, I'll turn the other cheek, but the Bible doesn't say what I do after that. You don't get that. Glory to God. I bless you. Glory to God. No, just kidding. Thank you, God. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. You guys can laugh with me sometimes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, it pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice or in righteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Say, every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. If there's one portion of that scripture that you need to understand, there is verse 8. Love never fails. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Hallelujah. And then it goes to say prophecy will go away, tongues and interpretations will go away, but what? Love never fails. Amen? And you need to remember that. Praise the Lord. Now, when we're talking about the church world, we've got to even love our enemies, of course. Jesus said that, to love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you, and that doesn't mean you pray for God to take them off the earth. God, wipe them out. Hey, man, just send a tornado to their house. Bless God. And through this political situation, you want to. Just get rid of all of them, Lord. Just do that thing you did in the Old Testament and open the ground and just swallow them all up. Glory to God. Well, that'd be scriptural, right? Not New Testament, though. Not New Testament. Praise God. So we learn to walk in the love of Christ. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart, and I'm to imitate. Amen? And young people, you'll have, you know, you're growing up, you have all of this junk going on and bullying and all that stuff. You just can't let it get under your skin. You're a better person than that. You have to walk in the love of God. And the Bible says, now listen to me, God is the one that will watch over you and take care of you. You know, God is like calling the mafia in. God says, you mess with my kid, I'll mess with you. So we don't mess with the people that are messing with us. We love them, and by doing so, the Bible says we heap coals of fire upon their head. We just love, 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 love. Glory to God. And if God wants to send a tornado, he can. Glory to God. Amen. We just love them. We pray for them. We pray for them. Hallelujah. We pray for their salvation. We forgive them. Say forgive. That's what love does. Forgive and forget. Let it go, because probably it's bothering you more than it's bothering them. People that hurt you, people that are, they don't stay up at night with no sleep thinking about you. But you're thinking about them because of something they've said or something they've judged you about or so on and so forth. So you release them. You say, Father, forgive them. Isn't that what Jesus did? He was hanging on the cross. He looked down on them and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And they're of their father, the devil. Come on now. That's what the world is. And unfortunately, some Christians follow after. Oh, yeah, Christian. Yeah, Jesus turned around and rebuked Peter. He said, Satan, get thee behind me. Peter. So even good people can be influenced and be used to work against you and to discourage you and to bring you down. That's why no matter what it is, who it is, you are purposed to walk in the love of God. Because you want the anointing working in your life. So you want your faith to work. Faith works by love. And we just read the definitions of love in the Amplified Bible. Now, Romans chapter 12 and verse 4. It says, in the human body there are many parts and organs, each with unique function. Now, this is why we have to create an atmosphere as a congregation, the body of believers, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It says that there are many parts and organs, each with a unique function. Every one of you have a unique function. And so it is in the body of Christ. For though we are many, we've all been mingled into one body of Christ. And this means that we are all vitally joined to one another. Now, whether you like that person next to you or not, if you are in Christ, you are vitally joined together. Your church family sometimes are closer than your natural family. Really? And a lot of the times when something devastating happens to you, although you love your family, and a lot of them aren't saved, a lot of them don't know how to believe God, you would rather have your church family at your side. that can take hold together with you and walk through that thing, the valley of the shadow of death, through faith. Amen? Coming through that, glory to God. And we can pull on each other's anointing, glory to God. I need you. You need me. We need each other. Hallelujah. This means that we all are vitally joined to one another, with each contributing to the other. You contribute to one another when you are in church, when you are walking in love, when you're actively allowing those gifts to operate in you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus said of the church, he said, "You, the world will know that you are my disciples because you have love for one another." Hallelujah. And as I said, growing up in church, man, we had people that if you'd sit in a wrong chair, "You're sitting in my chair. I dare you. I bought that pew. Don't you see my family bought that pew? You can't sit in that pew." Come on now. All kinds of attitudes. We cannot afford to have an issue. Have an attitude. We need an attitude adjustment. Glory to God. Praise God. Somebody said a checkup from the neck up. Right? In other words, get over it. And walk in love. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm not going to read this whole thing, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks and uses the analogy of the physical body having many parts. He says a foot cannot say, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not the hand or the eye," and so on and so forth. He breaks it down there, and he uses that as an illustration of the body of Christ. Not all of us are pastors, not all of us are teachers, but we are functioning as God puts us. Amen? In fact, the Bible says there in that portion, God has put each part just where he wants it. God has put you just where he wants you to be. A lot of you just recently come to the church, you're here because God wants you to be here. And he said, "Well, you know, it's just, you know." And in some of the testimonies we hear how people find out about the church, it's weird. It had to be God. Just had to be God. Just had to be God. Amen. I remember Jay and his wife a few years back in Brockton. They, God sent him here. They prayed and they took a map out. I don't remember the story exactly, but they took a map out and God pointed them to, they were from another state, and he'd worked with Andrew Womack Ministries and so forth and in Colorado. And so they were led here, okay? And the apartment that they moved into in Whitman, I think it was, there was a flyer that invited them to church that was mailed to the residents there that no longer lived there. So anyway, a long story short, they ended up coming to the church. He had written a lot of Andrew Womack's, he took the sermons and turned them into books and book forms. And actually, during the couple years that they were here, and they weren't here that long, a couple years that we were here, we established the Bible school. Under, you know, it wasn't under Andrew Womack Ministries, but we were able, he had connections and we were able to teach that. And Teresa was involved. She went through that course. And because of that, we have our Bible school that we have right now. So God uses people. He brings in people. You might say, "Man, I don't know why I'm here." You're here for a purpose. And God will show you your purpose. That's why we've got to understand that every one of us are important to function the way God has planted us here. Amen? Glory to God. And so, going to the last part of that, it says, this makes for harmony among the members. He's talking about now just recognizing that everybody's not the head, everybody's not the hand. There's different uncomely parts. Every person is needed. All right? Glory to God. Every part. People that pick up papers off the floor is needed. Whatever your ministry or giftings are. And so it says, so that all the members care for each other. I like that word. All the members. We've got to care, have a caring relationship with one another. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, we don't get jealous that that person is blessed, but we celebrate. Amen? All the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you are part of it. Hallelujah. God's building us up. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church was not man's idea. We've wrecked it. We've religionized it. We've made rules and regulations, but the real church of God, there's still a remnant today that are Holy Ghost-filled, Bible-toting believers that believe the Word of God. Hallelujah. And will determine to walk in the love of God and usher in the end-time harvest that God wants us to see in this day that we're living in right now. The end is not yet. No matter what the fake media says, no matter what this one says, yeah, I believe that the rapture is going to take place. I believe in the book of Revelation. I know that all the works and everything's being laid out for that to happen. But pause it just a minute. God's not done. We've got to see this great harvest come in. Praise God. And a lot of times, we do. Jesus, come quickly. And the apostle said, pray that prayer. Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. And sometimes you want that to happen. But there's family members that need to be saved. Amen? There's people. Multitudes and multitudes, the Bible says, are in the valley of decision. And the church has got to rise up and be the church. It's not God's will that any perish, but all come to repentance. So we've got to walk in love. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to indwell us. We come in power. We leave in power. Amen. We're not biting and bickering with one another. In one place in the Bible, the Apostle Paul says, you're devouring. In other words, you're eating each other up. Come on, stop it. The Bible says where there's strife, there's every evil work. And Paul, again, the early church was a baby church. It was a new church filled with carnal Christians or natural thinking Christians. Their mind had not been renewed to the Word of God yet. He had to feed them with milk instead of the meat of the Word of God. He was constantly, no matter what church it was, he was constantly talking about the love of God. Not only the Apostle Paul, but Peter and James and John, they all talked about the importance of walking in the love of God and demonstrating that love. Praise God. Amen? Hallelujah. So, one of the root problems with not walking in love is what I call selfishness. Selfishness, pride. It's all about me. I care about how I feel. Come on now. I care about me. And this is what Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says. God has given me the grace to speak a warning about pride. Paul says there's a grace on me now to preach against this. I would ask each of you to be emptied of self-promotion and not create a false image of your importance. Instead, honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as a standard of measurement, and then you will see your true value with an appropriate self-esteem. And then Ephesians 4:2, the Passion Translation says, with tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate. Not part of the time, but always demonstrate. Am I demonstrating? The way I'm acting right now, am I demonstrating gentleness? And am I demonstrating generous love toward one another? Am I doing this? Am I demonstrating? See, love isn't love unless it's given, unless it's demonstrated. Amen? Especially toward those who may try your patience. Ouch! Especially those who try your patience. Do you have anybody like that in your life? that constantly tries your patience. Just somebody that you'd rather hide from than be around. Come on now. Hey, I've done that. And I'm the pastor. Come on now. I mean, there's some people that are just so annoying that I've honestly went out a side door and let my armor bearer, Neil was in the early service, so I pointed to him, run interference. And I'd scoot out the back door so I wouldn't have to talk to that person. Oh no, they're coming after me. You're coming after me. There's this one person that came to our church. He'd been around a long time, and I'd be at the mall with my daughter Donna, pushing her down, you know, and just so on and so forth. My Westgate Mall in Brockton, minding my own business. All of a sudden, I see this person, and I just knew I did not want. It was just, you know, just, it was my problem, not his. But I actually ran from the, I'd go to the bathroom to hide from the guy. Here he comes! And Donna would look around the corner, go in, are they there? Are they there? No. They're over there in that store. Okay, let's go this way. Hallelujah. Ooh, none of you have done that, have you? Nah, you're all right. You're cool. Right? Yeah, but we get wrapped up in this stuff. See, God cares about the unlovely. And he got on, you know. Jesus talked about that. You know, and back in the temple days, back then, they were bringing the cool people up to the front. That always bothered me when I went to crusades, you know? They wanted the good-looking people up front for the cameras, where they needed the dope addicts up front. They needed the people in wheelchairs, you know? It used to bother me because I'd take Donna, and they'd put the wheelchair section way in the back, and everybody stood up, and they could see nothing that was going on. Put the dang wheelchairs up front! Put the people who need help out front. Nah, that would affect, you know. We got to, you know, we have the television there, and we want to make sure that they get the pretty people. That's my, you know, that bugs me. But anyway, you have some things that bug you too, right? Glory to God. But Jesus warned against that, you know. It's those that need a physician need the help. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's scary when you get weird people up on the front row. But hey, that's the ones that need to be delivered, need to be set free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anyway, demonstrate. Especially those who try your patience. Glory to God. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm running out of time. Verse 10, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, for the sake of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to agree to live in unity with one another and put to rest any division. Put to rest. Stop it. Stop it. Get over it. Put to rest any division that attempts to tear you apart. It says, be restored as one united body, living in perfect harmony, form a consistent choreography among yourselves. Hey, I pronounced it right that time. Having a common perspective with shared values. Come on, hallelujah. So it says, put to rest any division, any issues that you have with anybody. Put to rest. Bury it. Kill it. Don't let those things resurrect. Last scripture, Ephesians 4:3, be faithful to guard the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit. And this is what it's all about. Guard the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit among you in the bonds of peace. Guard the harmony. Guard the harmony. You know, it's not for us to judge one another, and we're going to get into that next week a little bit, because Paul warns. He says, God is the only judge. God is the only judge. And actually, he says there, and we'll read it next week, he says, if you judge somebody, you're guilty of the very same thing. Very same thing. And I'll tell some testimonies about that. But God is the only rightful judge, not us. Our job is to judge righteousness. Our job is to love one another. Faith, hope, and love. And that's what will remain. And love never does what? Never fails. Never quits working. The anointing, in other words, in your life works with love. In fact, I believe it's love that energizes you from the inside out. Praise God. Did you get anything today? Amen. I think the second service is better than the first service, but whatever. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I had the young people pulling it out of me up here. I was preaching at them. No. They have their whole life in front of them, so they're gonna be tested in their love walk, I'm telling you right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands. Father, we just praise you right now. We thank you for the opportunity to walk out. Amen. Our love walk. In your presence, Father, to create an atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. And we give you praise for that right now in the name of Jesus. If you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want us to say a prayer today. And it's so easy. God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to change anything. All you have to do is acknowledge that Jesus went to the cross to die for your sins, and ask him to come into your heart and into your life to be your Lord and Savior. If you're not sure you have, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Well, let's all pray it. Heavenly Father, I come to you today, and I acknowledge that I'm a sinner, and I'm in need of a Savior. And dear Jesus, thank you so much for going to the cross and dying for my sins. And now, Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart, come into my life, and be my Lord and Savior. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.